Welcome to the Mabel Syndrome Podcast with Jessica and Kristen.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Mabel Syndrome Podcast. This is Kristen coming at you from Boston, and I'm here with my beautiful friend Jessica.
Hey everybody, how's it going? Do I say more? Or do I just say hey?
Whatever usually, you want to do.
It's funny because I usually do the intro, right?
I know, right? So, and then I'm the one caught off guard, the one that's like, hey.
Yeah, so I'm where I usually am in Whistler, and it's Sunday afternoon. Oh, it's not afternoon for me yet. It's still morning. So technically it's okay that I didn't have a shower yet.
That's true. Yeah, you don't need to. Do you even need to shower on a Sunday?
Yeah.
I don't think so. All right, let's introduce our beautiful guest so that she can chime in on this. Well, let's ask her if she showers on Sundays. I don't know.
awesome.
Our beautiful guest today is Lauren Stein, and she's a good friend of ours. We absolutely adore her and have enjoyed getting to know her. She's a writer for a punk rock website and blog called punksburg.com. And you can guess where she's located based on that. Obviously, she's in Pittsburgh. And she writes about the Pittsburgh punk music scene. And she's a fan of a lot of the same bands that we are. And she's our guest for today. So welcome, Lauren.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah.
We're excited to have you.
I know. So what's the deal? Do people have to shower on Sundays?
I usually only shower on Sundays if I'm actually planning on leaving the house.
Right.
So today I am, so I did shower. But yeah. Otherwise,
yeah. You can just stay home and be in your PJs, especially wintertime.
Oh, yeah.
I shower on Sunday night for work the next day. So tonight will be like, I call it like my, this is going to be too much information, but I call it like once a week, I have like a working shower, it's called, or like a working bath. Like usually I have a bath just to like do nothing. I just like lay there and I read or I spend too much time on Facebook, on my phone and just like zone out in the bath. But like once a week I have like a working bath and that's like head to toe serious like maintenance.
Right.
That's reasonable.
You only have to do that once a week?
Well, I mean, I wash my body every day.
Oh, right. But I like, mean, like shaving, like I'm a hairy girl, so I have to shave every single day.
No, you don't.
My legs.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
I don't shave my, like in the summertime, I'll shave twice, my legs twice a week.
Wow.
I shave my armpits every day. I wish I could be one of those brave girls that waxes her armpits, but to me that seems like medieval torture, so I'm not going to go there, but I'll wax my vagina, but not my armpits.
Yeah, that seems strange.
I feel like my armpits are way more sensitive.
That's funny. Yeah, I would love to get my armpits like lasered or waxed so that I don't have to deal with that anymore.
But my friend got them lasered, and it's amazing, but it's expensive.
It's very expensive. So I've done laser on my hoo-ha twice now.
What?
And yeah. I told you that last
time. Like all of it? All of it or just the sides?
Mostly just the sides.
Okay, because I had a friend, and I'm going to tell you this. She works with quite a few young girls, like girls in their like 20s. Okay? Yeah. And they all get it lasered off, like all of it, like Brazilian laser.
Right.
And my friend that works with these girls is older. She's not old. Hope she's not listening to this. She's not old, but she's older than 20s and she's older than me. Mm-hmm. And she was like, you know what? These young girls lasering all of the hair off of their vaginas, when they get older, it's like elephant skin and they have nothing to cover it up. And I was like,
oh my God.
Right? I know.
That's
I was like,
true.
I never thought of that. And it will never grow back and you will never have anything to cover up that happening.
Oh, wow. Huh.
Right?
Yeah, that's interesting.
So don't laser at all.
Well, it does grow back. You have to do it 7 times.
Ooh.
for it to be permanent, from what
I understand.
Is it
like getting a tattoo? Like, does it feel like tattoo
Jess,
pain?
We've had this conversation. Do you not remember?
I think it was like our very first podcast.
It was a long time ago. It's like a tattoo times 20. It hurts.
Yeah, definitely not doing that on...
So bad.
That's not acceptable. Like, yeah. Waxing hurts for like a second and then it's gone.
Right. And this is a lot longer and it's consistent and you have to just keep dealing. Like, it's...
Wow. That sounds terrible.
It's really terrible. Yeah.
So welcome to the Mabel Syndrome podcast where we talk about hairy vaginas.
I know.
That's okay.
We talk about vagina a lot on our podcast.
There was a guy last night that... Sorry, I just wanted to say there's a guy last night on Instagram. Did you read those messages this morning that he was messaging? And I was like, he made a joke about RedTube. And I was like, oh, well, now I know that you listen. And he was like, no, I just really like RedTube. And then he said that he's like, oh, I blasted through 18 episodes in 3 days. And I was like, of what? And he meant our podcast. And he listened to all of them. And I don't know. I just still find it shocking.
That's the same guy that was telling you that you need to give a shout out to more Canadian girl bands.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm really?
Yeah, that's the same guy.
Okay.
Yeah, which we do. So
are we going to talk about him?
Because, well, just quickly. Okay. So, like, we have gotten some feedback. I get this from Sal, my friend Sal, all the time. He's like, you don't know any new bands. You listen to all the same old shit. And I'm like... Well, it made me think about it because I'm like, okay, I have like 20 favorite bands, right? Each of whom have been around forever. So they have like 10 albums out each. So I have 20 or 200 albums on constant rotation. So like I always have something and I love just my music that I know what it is. And I'm just, I don't know. It's hard for me to really get into something new. I have to listen to it at least 10 times before I absolutely fall in love with it. Although the exception is the new Bad Cop, Bad Cop album, which I've only listened to like 3 or 4 times and it fucking rocks.
Okay, so Instagram guy's going to give us shit already because we talk about Bad Cop, Bad Cop too much.
I know.
Already, we just fucked up for him.
I know.
He knows who he is because he apparently listens. So he's going to hear this. He knows we're talking about him.
His name's Ryan. I'll give him a shout out. Hey, Ryan. but so we know that we need to, you know, explore new music. We're always like interested in getting feedback from people about what bands we should check out, what bands, you know, if you have a special connection with any bands or anything like that, like we're super open to that and love hearing about that. But we don't know every single girl band on the planet and some we like, some we don't. Just because we're females doesn't mean we're gonna like every single, you know, band that's out there. It's the same as being a fan of punk rock. Just because we're fans of punk rock doesn't mean we're going to absolutely love every single band. So,
yeah.
Anyways, it's something that we're working on. And so if people, you know, have bands that you think we should check out or that you'd like to see us interview or whatever, then just let us know.
So I can help out here and kind of segue in the process.
Perfect. Because
when I was recently at Punk Rock Bowling in Vegas, there was a Canadian female punk band that I absolutely adored. Their name's Mobina Galore. It's just two of them, and they totally kick ass.
Just two people?
Just two people, guitar and drums.
I love two people bands.
It's
Who
kind
sings?
Of a
drummer or guitarist?
Well, and actually, the drummer sings a little bit too.
Wow.
They totally kill it. It's a really kind of aggressive sound, but they're awesome and Canadian. So.
Oh. And what's the name again? Say it again.
Mobina Galore.
Oh, cool. Hmm. I'm going to check that out today.
They just put out an album. I think it's called Feeling Disconnected, something along those lines. But it's really, really good.
Oh, that's awesome.
So, and I think they're going on tour soon.
Cool. Well, one of the reasons we wanted to have Lauren on the podcast is because she recently went to Punk Rock Bowling in Vegas and also the one in New Jersey. And I was just completely fascinated by this because... I've always wanted to do that. I go to shows by myself all the time, but it's because it's a half an hour away or an hour away at the most or something. And I don't mind going to a show by myself. That's fine. But the thought of going to Punk Rock Bowling, like flying somewhere, going to a huge festival by myself, is totally intimidating to me. And I just think it's so awesome that you recently did that. So and you just did that. You went totally on your own, flew, got your ticket.
Yep.
Was it a tough decision to do that?
Yeah, I mean, like, I'd be lying if I said I wasn't kind of totally freaked out. I'd never been to Vegas before, so I didn't really know what to expect. I'd obviously never been to the punk rock bowling there. So I saw the lineup, and there were a bunch of bands that either I saw before and loved, like The Interrupters, or bands like Bad Religion and Iggy Pop, you know, that I hadn't seen before and really wanted to. So I just sort of stared at the ticket screen and finally just sort of, you know, pushed that button, went for it. But yeah, I mean, there were definitely times when I was younger that I was, you know, really timid growing up and stuff. And I know I missed out on a lot of experiences just because I was too scared to do it. And recently in the past few years, it's just like, fuck that. Like, I want to do these things and I'm not like, I'm going to be scared, but whatever, I'll deal with it. And sometimes yeah. things end up, you know, really, really bad, but most of the time things are amazing and you see awesome bands and meet cool people. So,
yeah.
So yeah, it's kind of getting over that anxiety and just going out there and doing it.
One of the, like, I don't know, I can't quote it exactly, but one of the philosophies that literally stuck with me, and I think about it all the time, is that you're going to regret more what you don't do than what you do do.
Yeah.
So I'm like, well, I would regret it if I didn't go, but I'm never going to regret going, you know?
Yeah.
So I think about that all the time.
Like I said, like, for the past few years, I've went out and done all these experiences that I never would have done, like, 10 years ago. And, you know, there have been some bad things, but you always kind of, you chalk it up as learning experiences, and you say, like, I'm still alive, I'm still okay, and...
Yeah.
And so you just kind of keep putting yourself out there.
Yeah. So tell me about punk rock bowling, the one in Vegas. So I've never been, and I don't even know the setup or where people stay or any of that kind of deal.
So the main festival hotel is called the Golden Nugget, and I'm not even totally sure of the whole geography of Vegas. I think it's down at the end of the strip, so it's not where all like the big fancy hotels are. But the festival grounds are just in a lot right next to there, so it's, you know, a 5-minute walk from the Nugget. And the festival itself was Saturday, Sunday, and Monday from like 3 to 10. And so I like to be right up front. I like to be right on the barrier. It was also shady right by the barrier. But so every day I'd go there sort of right when the festival started, grab my spot on the rail, and just watched all the bands. And it was cool because I got to experience some bands that I'd never heard of and probably wouldn't have seen otherwise. And so... it was nice to use as a learning opportunity, you know, like we were talking mm-hmm. about discovering new bands. And then it was kind of the same 24 people that would hang out by the rail. So I'd get to know them and chat with them since we'd all, you know, show up at the same time.
Mm-hmm. So were there any other women there by themselves?
Yeah, there were a few. There's a big Facebook group for punk rock bowling. So I'd kind of, you know... a few of us had met up in advance on there saying, like, hey, we're women, we're traveling on our own, let's meet up. So there's this one woman that I did end up hooking up with, and we went out and got some meals and stuff. So it was nice to
Wait,
sort of
hooking up with or hooking
up? Well, you know, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
That's true. I'm kidding.
I'm not.
That's awesome.
But yeah, like, so it's the two of us are pretty similar. Our kids are around the same age. And so that was cool just to find someone, you know, like me to hang out with. And yeah, and I got to see tons of awesome bands. I saw, like I said, Bad Religion. That was my first time seeing them. And I loved their set. And Fat Mike was there, and he ran on stage at one point and stole Jay Bentley's bass and rocked out for a song. So, you know.
That was your first time seeing Bad Religion?
Yeah.
Aren't they awesome live? Like, they yes. sound so good.
Yeah, it was so good. And just it was one of those things where just being right up front and just being a few feet away from, you know, the good doctor and all. It's,
yeah.
I think in a previous game of Mary Fuck Kill that we played on a podcast episode, I'm pretty sure I killed him.
Yeah.
Pretty sure. But I think it just meant that the other choices were just a smidge above.
you don't seem very sad about this at all.
Well, I'm not a huge Bad Religion fan. That's why.
No.
I like them. I do. I like them, and they've always been in my realm of music a little bit on the outskirts. My friends really like them and stuff, but they've never been one that, like, super got me hooked. But I have seen them live, and their live performance is really incredible. They've been doing it for so long. They have it so dialed in, right? Their sound is just super tight. So I can definitely appreciate that part of it.
Yeah, I don't feel like they're super fun to watch necessarily. It's not like, you know, it's not like they're running all over the stage or like going crazy or anything like that, but they're just so tight and so good, and all of those guitars, and it's just loud and powerful, and that's what I like about it.
Yeah, definitely. And then there were some bands that it was just kind of a
powerful. That's a good word. Like,
I don't know if you guys have ever seen the Addicts before. But the guy comes out in like face paint and, you know, with this little shawl type thing, like wings almost, and dancing around with umbrella. And it was just, you should look up a video on YouTube or something, but it was just quite the performance.
Yeah.
And the Dickies also were just a lot of fun live. There are a lot of those old bands that I wasn't super familiar with, but it was a good opportunity to see them for the first time. So.
Yeah. And is there one stage?
There's just one stage, which is really nice. So you don't have to worry about running back and forth to see the bands that you want. Mm-hmm. And then after the main festival ends, there are club shows. And so each night there were, I think, 3 or 4 club shows to choose from. And the only really big disappointment of the weekend was I had been really excited to see Bad Cop, Bad Cop for the first time, shouting them out again.
Yeah.
they're playing with the Lawrence Arms and the Menzingers. But that was the same night that Iggy Pop was headlining. And they went on before Iggy Pop's set was even over. So I was right up front, you know, I was like 2 feet away from Iggy Pop. And then I saw on Facebook, they're like, oh, we're playing at, you know, 9:50 or whatever. So I stayed for a few Iggy songs and I was like, well, now I got to get out of here because I actually want to see them.
Right.
But actually trying to get through that crowd was insanity because I was just, you know, jammed up against the rail. So that took some effort to actually get out. But I caught a few of their songs. So
Can I also just say that that's a pretty big shout out to Bad Cop, Bad Cop when you're at the front, you're 2 feet away from Iggy Pop and you're like, I got to go because I got a different show. You know what I mean? That's pretty cool. And you know what? I know Ryan thinks we talk about the same girl bands too much, but Bad Cop, Bad Cop deserves it. So. Fuck that. So Bad Religion was the highlight because it was your first time. You got to see the new band from Canada, the girls, the two, you know, that you were super stoked on. Yeah. How did you survive the like insane temperatures?
It actually wasn't that bad.
Yeah.
It's a very dry heat. So my phone said it was, you know, 105 degrees, but it's... It didn't feel that bad. But like I said, the nice thing about being right at the barrier was it was kind of shaded by the stage. So basically the first two people right up there were in the shade. So that's another reason why I made sure to get there kind of right when it opened so that I could just kind of hang out there.
I'm from Canada. I don't experience those types of heat. I'm actually quite nervous when we do the road trip in August. I keep hearing all about how hot it is in different parts when we're traveling. I actually had made mention to somebody about in Chicago. I was watching some food show the other day and they were at the Illinois State Fair and I was like, ooh, that sounds fun because I can go eat a whole bunch of deep fried stuff. And I like Googled it. And then the person I mentioned it to was like, yeah, you don't want to be at a fair in August in Chicago, you'll die. And I was like, oh.
Yeah, it's going to be kind of sticky and gross.
Well, because the festival we're going to, 350 Fest, is inside, and it's air-conditioned. So
yeah,
I won't die that day. That makes me even more excited.
Yeah, and it's just one stage. It's like one stage, 4 bands, starts at like 3 p.m, I think, and inside air-conditioned, and it's supposed to be like a couple thousand people.
Cause it's awesome. Face-to-face and real big fish, too, right? Mm-hmm.
Yep, and face to face, real big fish, big wig, the stereo, and lights over Bridgeport.
Yeah.
And that's pretty fucking awesome because.
And since it's a beer fest too, do you think there's going to be like a beer?
I think there's like.
There,
yeah, and I'm. Because it's just 350 Brewing putting it on, I think. It's just 350 Brewing and their beer, I'm pretty sure. But there's different, like, samples and, like, that kind of thing. But, I mean, for me, the 350 lineup is pretty insane because face-to-face, obviously. I know I talk about them too much. Screw you all for saying that to me.
I've never seen face-to-face, so.
Oh, my God!
I know!
Sorry, I just screamed into my mic. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Okay. So, face-to-face. But also, Real Big Fish is one of my all-time favorites. And I just saw them earlier this year, and their live show is fucking insane. And then Lights Over Bridgeport is another favorite, and them opening for face-to-face is a pretty big deal. So I'm really excited about the small size of the festival, you know? Like you said about Punk Rock Bowling, not having to run from stage to stage, like, that's kind of like Warped Tour style, right? You have to map out your whole day and make sacrifices. The festival setting of one stage is cool. I think. I've never experienced it. It sounds exciting.
No. Yeah, I was happy with it.
Yeah.
You better come now, Lauren. Lauren is excited. She wants to go now. And the posse is getting bigger. It would be so great to have you there.
I'm going to try.
Like, my sound's cutting in and out. Is my sound cutting in and out? Am I freezing?
A little bit.
Yeah. I feel like my connection's okay in Lauren's, but yours is a little, yeah.
Damn Canada. That's
okay. Yeah. That's why we're recording your voice. Fucking Canada. So we'll be able to pick it up. But so Lauren, then you also went to Punk Rock Bowling in New Jersey, the Asbury Park one.
Yep.
And how was that different, or what bands did you see there?
So I don't think there were any bands that overlapped between the two. Last year there were a few, but I don't think there were any this year. But yeah, that one's nice because it's only maybe a 5-hour drive from my house, and just obviously being on the beach and stuff is really cool. The big band there that I'd never seen before was NoFX, and their set was amazing. Mm-hmm. And that was the first time that Eric Melvin had been back in a while, so that was sort of exciting to see him there.
Oh, you know what? So that actually sets up, we'll set up the Rehasher interview in a few minutes, but one of the things that we do, that I get to talk to Roger about, is the fact that he filled in for Melvin when Melvin's wife was having babies.
Uh-huh.
And how he got that call from Melvin and all that stuff. So anyway, stay tuned for that when we talk with Roger of Rehasher in a few minutes.
Can I also just point out that Lauren called him Eric Melvin instead of just Melvin, and it kind of just made me feel like I love her a little bit more, because I don't think I've ever heard anybody call him his full name.
Yeah. It's like, and Eric Sandin was on drums.
Yeah.
Aww.
It's so cute.
Yeah. It's really,
I mean,
cute.
I'll be honest, like, I only started listening to NoFX like a year ago. So it, like, we talked about this beforehand, but like, I have this really circuitous route to getting into punk rock, sort of in my older age.
Tell us about it.
There are lots of what was that?
Tell us about that.
So, like, I listened to a bunch of punk-ish bands when I was, you know, in high school. I had an older brother, so, you know, I did the whole Green Day, Blink-182, The Offspring, Less Than Jake, like those sort of bands. And then when I went to college, it was a super indie rock college, and so I sort of got into that. And then basically I spent my 20s either like really sick or dealing with, you know, relationship issues or going to grad school. And so I basically just stopped listening to music for about 10 years. And so I just, that whole period of my life is just sort of a blur now. But things settled down, then I got married and I had a kid. And after my kid was born, I just sort of felt this sort of identity crisis and, you know, wanted to have a distinct life of my own outside of just being Julian's mother. Mm-hmm. And so I basically just was searching around for all these hobbies that I used to be into. And I was like, I need to, like, find things to do on my own. And a coworker is in a Pittsburgh punk band. And so I just sort of went out to one of his shows and had a blast. Like, I felt so comfortable. Like, this is what I'd been doing as a teenager. So I sort of became a part of the Pittsburgh punk rock scene, got to know a lot of those bands, and then through that sort of expanded out to all these bigger punk bands that I'd sort of missed the first time around. So there are some like weird bands that I'm super familiar with that are kind of obscure, and then some of the big bands I hardly know at all. So mm-hmm. I've basically just spent the past 2 years sort of trying to consume as much music as possible. Which is another reason why I wanted to go to these festivals, because I can kind of tick a lot of these bands off my list in, you know, one fell swoop.
Yeah, and I really relate to that story because, I mean, I'm a decade older than you. And got into a lot of that music when I was a teenager and stuff. So I knew Bad Religion and NOFX and all those bands back when I was a teenager in the early 90s. But then I took kind of... checked out a little bit too, because I was sick also for a while and I had kids, and it's just impossible to do it all, right? Like and so I would listen to the same, you know, some of the same stuff, but I just didn't go to shows as often and that kind of stuff. And so again, when my kids were a little bit older and I was kind of like, who am I? What do I love? What am I passionate about? Punk just came to the forefront again for me in my life. And that's why I wanted to start Mabel Syndrome. It's like, okay, well now who else is a woman in their, you know, in their 20s or 30s that really enjoys this kind of music, and guys that like women, that, you know, and are respectful of women that like punk rock and stuff. And so that's really why I wanted to start this. It's, you know, kind of because it's a passion of mine that I had put on the back burner for a little while too. And now being back into it is just awesome.
Yeah, and I'm thankful you started this, because, you know, the first episode of Mabel Syndrome that I heard is like, I want these women to be my best friends, because I don't really have people like this in Pittsburgh, so.
Aww.
That's what we want. You know, that's what we want to do with Mabel Syndrome. It's, you know, like we were talking earlier about somebody calling us out about not liking enough girl bands or talking about different female musicians and stuff, but, I mean, we want to promote women musicians and women in the punk scene with Mabel Syndrome, but that's not why we started it. Like, it's about bringing women together in the scene and making us have a voice and, you know, meeting people that are like us and creating a space for that sort of, right? Like, yeah. We promote girl bands that we like. That's what it is. We promote female musicians that we like, just sort of like we do with the male musicians. It's not about...
Well, it's just about sharing our stories and our experiences. Yeah. And who knows who, you know, who might be listening to this and be like, oh, well, if she can go to punk rock bowling by herself, maybe I can go to punk rock bowling by myself. Like, it inspired me to, like,
totally.
think about doing something like that.
Or don't go by yourself. Go with me next year.
Exactly.
There you go.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So, and now to set up, I also wanted to pick your brain a little bit about Less Than Jake and Rehasher. Because we're going to, the second part of this episode is going to be my interview with the Rehasher guys. And they were just up in New England or in the Northeast to do three shows. And I saw them in Boston, and you saw them in Philadelphia?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. And how did you learn about Rehasher?
So I don't know, it was a little bit funny. Cause like I had said, I'd listened to Less Than Jake when I was, you know, a teenager and stuff. And they were recently in town in February, and so when I saw that they were coming, you know, I immediately bought my tickets, and I got the VIP package with the meet and greet, which in retrospect is kind of funny, because, like, I didn't really, like, they've sort of always been there in my life, but I never actually took the time to actually get to know them. So going into the meet and greet, I didn't even know any of their names, which is kind of embarrassing to say now. But the guys were all really cool, and the show was awesome. But during the set, Chris mentioned that they were going to go to a nearby bar afterwards to hang out. So my friend and I were like, hey, sure, this will be fun. So we went over there. And Roger ended up coming to the bar to get another drink and sitting down next to us, and service was slow, so he just ended up talking and basically stayed there for most of the rest of the night. And I was just kind of floored, because I'm, like, a terribly awkward person to talk to. But he was just so friendly to talk to. Our kids are around the same age, so we talked about kids stuff. I probably had too much to drink, and I started rambling on about, like, awkward things about my life. I remember I do puzzles for fun, so I remember telling him about my puzzles, and, like, he listened politely and, like, asked questions. And
But he's into flying drones too. Did you talk to him about that?
So I do these really big puzzles. Like the one I'm working on now is 18,000 pieces. I've been doing it for most of a year. But I was telling him how, like, I really like these puzzles because this is what I do to kind of reduce anxiety. And it's like, I just go into a trance while doing it. And I can, you know, spend 5 hours doing a puzzle. And then that's, you know, it's like very soothing and
it's
relaxing.
It's like meditation in a way.
Yeah, like meditation. He's like, you're talking about flow state. I was like, I have no idea what you're talking about, dude. And it's basically that sort of, you know, you go into the zone almost. And he's like, I get that same feeling when I fly my quads. I was like, I have no idea what you're talking about, dude. Like, what? And so he explained, like, how, like, the quad flying works and, like, the FPV, which is the first person view, and you wear these goggles. And I was like, this is the most amazing thing I've ever heard of. Like, you need to tell me more. So he said, you know, Google this thing called a tiny whoop, which is a really small quad. So I went home and I did. And so
So he's the one that got you into it.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I mean, like,
it sounds really creepy to say that. I don't know.
No, that's awesome.
But yeah.
Cause I've seen it. I've seen him post about it and I know that's a passion of his and stuff. And, when someone talks to you about something that they're super excited about and gets you excited about it, of course you're going to want to try.
Yeah. I mean, like, it's been amazing. Like, I joined a local club here in Pittsburgh and, you know, of course I'm the only girl, but like the guys are super supportive and like, they're like getting to be like some of my really good friends. And it's an amazing hobby. Yeah. So going back to Rehasher, after talking to him after the show, I looked it up and I had actually discovered that on my Spotify account, like I'd actually saved some of their songs in the past and I had no idea that he was behind it, but I was like, oh, I like this music. So when I saw that they were coming to Philadelphia, it's only like a 5-hour drive, and they're touring with a band called We Are the Union, which I had discovered in the past and also really like them. So I was like, I have to go.
They're really good, by the way. So everyone should check out We Are the Union, too. Because I didn't know about them, but watching them live, they were really great.
Yeah. When I went out there, it was at this super small dive bar in Philadelphia. Roger remembered me, which kind of floored me. And so I was like, hey, so I'm flying these quads now. And so we talked about that a little bit. So it was
That's
fun.
Awesome.
Yeah.
He must have remembered your beautiful smile.
I'm sure that's it.
What would make me, I would remember you for that. It's a pretty significant, great smile. So
it is a good smile.
That's me chiming in every, I'm quiet today. I feel quiet today.
I know you are a little quiet.
That's
today.
Okay.
You don't have your scissors.
It's because I'm not drinking and it's 11 o'clock in the morning. So I've had 3 cups of coffee, but I'm not drinking alcohol. So, but I'm enjoying listening today more than I am talking. Does that make sense?
I want to get, because Lauren has such great stories and
I know.
I've been wanting to pick her brain about all this stuff. So, So for those who don't know, Roger Lima of Less Than Jake has this band called Rehasher that's kind of his passion project, something I don't even know if he started it with anybody or if he just, he says like he writes a lot of songs for Less Than Jake and songs that either the band doesn't really want to do for whatever reason. They kind of get sorted into this funnel of Rehasher that's a little different. So I would say, I mean, it's Roger's voice, and I absolutely love Roger's voice. And they're like Less Than Jake, but no horns. And Roger plays all of the instruments on the album. I think he had a couple drummers come in to do some of those parts. And then the two dudes that are with him right now in Rehasher, they're really sweet. They're really young guys. They're probably mid-20s, I would guess. And they are from Gainesville and live in Gainesville. One guy's name is Tony and the other guy's name is Alex. And I think they're roommates and they did some work for Roger, like in his studio and stuff. And then Roger basically asked them if they wanted to join on and with Rehasher. And I think they talk about that story also in the interview that we'll get to. But they're just really, really nice guys. And I knew that it's been tricky, right? Because I've been wanting to interview Less Than Jake. And I have a million questions about Less Than Jake. But when I was interviewing Rehasher, I really wanted to try to stick to Rehasher questions. Even though I did ask Roger a lot about playing with NoFX, because
That's kind of a huge deal. So
it was huge. Yeah, it was huge. So, and it's really fun to hear him talk about that, because I was like, well, did you have to think about it? And he's like, what? Think about it? And he's like, no, of course I didn't have to think about it. But yeah. So, anyways, it's a fun interview. It was funny too, because we couldn't find a spot to actually do the interview. So when their van pulled up in front of the venue, and the venue wasn't open yet, and we were supposed to do our interview, and it was also the Celtics and the Bruins were both in the playoffs and playing that afternoon, so all the bars and restaurants were totally packed, and we had no place to do the interview. So they're like, well, why don't you come in the van?
Doesn't sound creepy at all.
I know. I was like, okay. It's even creepier that I did it, I think.
But see, I suggested for the last interview that I did, when we couldn't find a place, I suggested the van, and that was even worse. Like, I'd rather be invited into a van than be like, hey, let me in your van. Like, that's the flip side of it. Like, if someone I rather the guy who I'm interviewing invite me into the van than be like, that's hey, true. We don't have anywhere to go. Can I come in your van? Like, it feels worse.
That's true. Yeah, I don't know if I would ask to go in the van.
Thanks. I didn't know what else to do. It was like, should we go to the library or should we go to your van? That was my option.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard to find a quiet spot to do these interviews and stuff. So anyways, I sat in the van and I talked to the guys. I talked to Tony, Alex, and Roger, and they're really sweet. And I hope you guys check them out. Check out the band Rehasher and find them on Spotify or iTunes, and buy some of their music, because they're awesome.
Great band.
Yeah.
So thank you, Lauren. Thank you so much for being part of our podcast today.
Thank you. This is so much fun. Good.
I hope you come back. I would like to have you on as like a regular kind of interval thing, because you've got a lot of really cool things to talk about.
I will come back whenever you want me to.
You have like video games, sports, drones, music, travel. You say words puzzles. That I don't understand. Puzzles. You used a word earlier. What the hell was that word? I couldn't stop. I didn't want to stop you, but you used a word. Because for those of you that don't know, Lauren is a Latin teacher. So not only is she super cool, she's super smart. So whatever word that was, I'm gonna text you and ask you what that word was.
Okay.
Started with an S.
We'll hear back, and we'll
when we hear back, we're going to have to hashtag it.
Yeah.
It was cool to talk to you, Lauren. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, it was cool. Oh, we'll let you choose the Rehasher song that we'll play at the end of the episode, too. Do you have anything in mind?
Let's go with, I think my favorite song is probably Lift. It's just so uplifting. yeah. But that always makes me kind of happy. So.
Awesome.
So let's go with that.
So we're going to end this episode with Rehasher playing the song Lift. And please find us on iTunes and leave us a rating, or on SoundCloud or CastBox. And be sure to follow us on social media as well.
Awesome.
So thank you, everybody.
Enjoy the interview.
Thanks for listening. Here's Rehasher.
Bye.
Bye.
This is Kristen with Mabel Syndrome, and I'm here with the guys from Rehasher. Roger, Tony, and Alex, and we're hanging out in the van, which is awesome. Oh, it's kind of hot in here.
Sorry.
It is hot in here.
crack the windows, you know?
Yeah, I appreciate it. So did you guys all meet up in Gainesville?
Yeah, I guess, just locals, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of was like me and Tony have been playing together for, since we were, teenagers.
You guys grew up in the same town?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we both grew up in Gainesville.
Oh, in Gainesville. Oh, okay.
And so what ended up happening, was we, went and did some work with Raj, and I guess he liked what we did enough to bring us on board to go on and do some shows. So, yeah.
I tried to make Tony a full-time Less Than Jake roadie.
Oh, really?
He was offered the gig to work for Less Than Jake and come on tour and, travel the world. And
right.
But he respectfully declined.
What?
So, and I respect that in an effort to have the time to play music, to play his own music, and not just, you know, lug gear or sell t-shirts or whatever. So.
Right. Yeah, well, I know Brian, and he always talks, like, he's just, like, tries to fit it in whenever he can, but it's hard because he's always with you guys.
Yeah, he's got a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah.
It killed me to turn that down, but I can't not play, you know, and it's like, I don't know.
How many other bands are you in?
Three, besides this.
And what instruments do you play in this?
Bass mostly and guitar in one.
Mm-hmm. So. How is it playing bass in Roger's band, knowing what an amazing bass player he is?
It was intimidating at first, but I don't know. It's mellow, you know. It's just, the songs are fun, and you just play them, so it's not bad.
Tony can play bass, man.
Yeah.
Thanks. It's not like it's hard. There's nothing that I can play that he can't play. I've just been playing for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all good.
You're modest. Why do you play guitar with Rehasher?
Well, I'm sort of more of a guitar player personality, I would say, in a way. You know, like, I mean, songwriting and being, you know, not on tour, if I'm going to, like, play an instrument, you know, it's going to be guitar. I don't know. It's just, like, I have way more guitars than I do basses. It's weird. And a lot of the songs, you know, that this band plays is, like, kind of leftover songs that I have, in a way. You know, like, songs that were sort of on the palette to maybe become a Lesson Jake song. Or, I don't know, it's weird. It's some things just kind of fall into a different funnel. You know, it's more likely to, like, feel like a Rehasher song or something. I don't know, I play guitar because that's what I play a lot. I don't know.
Is that like how you write songs, basically?
I mean, absolutely. I just I don't play bass guitar unless Lesson Jake is rehearsing, recording, or performing. It's not, you know, it's like it's weirdly secondary to me in a weird way. But I love, like, what being a bass guitar player is like. You know, you have a lot of control over the music when you're the bass player. You affect it a lot more than you think. It's awesome. It's really the driving thing. People think it's drummers, but they're just really following the bass player.
I didn't want to tell you, man.
Yeah. So Tony's like the leader of the band.
Pretty much.
Yeah. So Roger, what's the best thing? This is a really great lineup that you have right now with these two guys, obviously.
Yeah, it's awesome.
So what's your favorite thing about each of them? What's your favorite thing about Alex?
Alex is just, he's amazingly neurotic, but his energy is really focused on something, and I like that. It reminds me of me, and like my mom in a weird way. He's a phenomenal drummer. Have you seen him play?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah?
Yeah. And Tony and I have been friends for a long time.
Yeah.
It's like, this is all like kind of surprise. I wasn't really planning on doing Rehasher as a live thing ever again.
Right.
You know, I just did that last record with a bunch of different drummers, and it's like sort of became more of a solo thing where I'm doing all the writing and stuff. And Alex actually called me and was like, hey, man, me and Tony aren't in any punk bands. So if you hear of anything, and if anything comes through the studio or somebody, you know, we're like looking to, you know, play fast stuff again or punk rock again. And I was like, well, fuck it, we should just do Rehasher shows.
Mm-hmm.
And there you go.
And this is the first time you guys have been up this way?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yep. Any fun tour stories with these three dates that you've had?
All of them, man. I don't know. Every night's just been a blast. The whole trip, you know.
Everything sold out really fast.
Yeah. I mean, there's just a little bit of hype on it. We're playing with We Are the Union, you know. People like them. They don't play a lot. Rehasher did play in New York City like in 2004.
Oh, okay.
You know, other lineup forever ago. And, there's a lot of fans around this area. Like, I don't know, I feel like I get a lot of messages and shit from this part of the world, so it seemed like it would be cool. And it's been really cool. It's been, like, pretty incredible, actually. Yeah.
It's been, like, every night that we've played has been a blast, but what's actually been surprising to me is with these three people, how mellow our van rides have been. Like, actually, during the day, everything is just, like, when we're driving, everything's just super chill. Like, nobody's, like, going insane or whatever in the
unless
van.
We're in New York City and stuff
like that.
Oh, God.
And then I went insane in New York
City. Okay, well, like, driving through New York, Tony did not have a fun
But this
time
is, like, your
that.
First really long road trip together, so is everyone, like, on their best behavior, like, being nice?
I think we're just nice dudes, you know? It's nothing's fake about it or anything like
right.
that.
Right, no, I don't mean that, but, like, after, you know, 20 years, like, I'm sure you guys, when you tour with Les and Jake, are just, like, getting on each other's shit all the time.
No, and it's not like that either. We all generally get along, and, you know, you just learn everybody's quirks and stuff like that, and...
Yeah, you know what buttons not to push when you're around a certain person for a really long time, so...
Mm-hmm.
Fortunately, Tony and I are roommates, so that, like, that makes that a lot easier. We've been roommates for, like,
seven years.
What?
Yeah.
Really?
So yeah, exactly. Oh, wow. So like we know each other like really well, which I think really helps actually in the music as well, because we know each other, we've played together, like that chemistry is
yeah,
there.
Totally.
Roger's stepping up to the plate too, trying to oust me on, you know, bad jokes and get on my level with
oh
us,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, he's been
stepping whole up. new friend connection. It's crazy.
with bad jokes? Oh, what's your yeah, what's your favorite bad joke?
Fantastic tour.
Yeah, they're all situational, you know. The
like dad jokes?
I think yeah. I gotta go. Yeah, yeah. I would have to nominate we were in Philly yesterday and Tony's on Craigslist. And he sees this ad for a keyboard that makes meow sounds, like musical meow, and it's like yeah. shaped like a cat and everything. And
cat keyboard.
The cat sounds. Keyboard, yeah. And so.
Tony said it was meowsome.
So we're like, yeah, he said it was meowsome, but we're up front in the van, like listening to sounds of this keyboard. We're like, we're totally gonna fucking buy this thing. And then Raj goes like. You know, guys, I'm not really feline this idea. I just died.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good times.
Yeah, good stuff. So just two other quick questions for you, Roger.
No worries.
So I talked with Masked Intruder earlier this week, and we talked a little bit about them recording at Moat House.
Awesome.
They said there were absolutely no drugs involved.
None. And I am missing a couple microphones, but I'm not sure if it's up to them.
But it was like around that time?
It was like really coincidentally when they were recording there.
Yeah.
Sticky hands, those Master Tutor guys.
I know, right? So help me understand a little bit about the recording process. Like, so they go to Moat House and that's where they play and you record, basically?
Yeah. I mean, the Moat House is like a tracking studio and a place that bands can stay. But it's mostly just like a house with a shitload of instruments and microphones in it. It's not like a recording studio with like, you know, soundproofing and shit on the walls. It's just an old house that's yeah. devoted to like recording.
Yeah. Oh, and they get to stay there too?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. I lived in the house for like a super long time mm-hmm. and just kind of decided to keep it and make it sort of weirdly like a man cave.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Those guys, I've always gotten along really well with those guys. They have really distinct music ideas and they like to go pretty deep on mm-hmm. their recordings. It's not just like, oh, it's bass, drums, guitar, and we're done. You know, it's there's a lot of stuff going on in there. Mm-hmm. And I told them a long time ago I wanted to record them and made it happen. It was really fun. I really liked the EP. And
It's a great EP.
It's really good.
I love those guys.
Yeah.
And I love their first record. You know, I think most bands, you know, they have that first record. The songs took a long time to develop. They toured a bunch. They played a bunch. Mm-hmm. And they make that first record. So that record's always pretty good, you yeah. know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's got like some live energy to it because it's been sort of honed. And then the second record is always a challenge. That's the one where, you know, a lot of the times you're writing some of that in the studio and maybe you just wrote some of them, they're fresh, you haven't played them live, mm-hmm. you're coming up with the words on the spot, and it's like kind of a harder record to do. And
well, there's more pressure too, I would think.
A little bit.
Yeah.
And their second record, although I absolutely love the songs and the ideas, I feel like it didn't quite get them the way that I thought they should be, you know? Mm. Like, so I was like, oh no, they can't get too soft on me, you know, it can't be this much, this 50s-ish, it should be punk rock, it should be like kicking your ass like AC/DC does still. Like,
right, okay, right. You know?
And I think I kind of got that in their brain too, that was
kind of
like,
mixed oh, yeah, that gotta, together.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, I like a lot of layers and keyboards and extra vocals and everything. Uh-huh. I just want it to sound like, you know, like tough. Uh-huh. I think they're a tough band.
Yeah, well, yeah. They're tough and soft at the same time.
Yeah, it's perfect.
Yeah.
It's like, they get away with murder, man. They get like, what
no
punk
pun
rock
intended.
Bands?
No.
See? What punk there
bands?
We go.
Yeah. She's in.
Yeah.
Mark it. What kind of like what bands really get to sing about like straight up love songs?
Yeah.
They don't. They get away with it because they're, you know, yeah. that's the way the band is and they can sing that and I think it's so cool.
Well, you know what I was just saying to someone that. Is like the little parts of Masked Intruder don't make any sense, right? Like dudes in disguises and they're singing love songs, but it's punk and like whatever, but then you add it all together and great. Somehow it just works.
It's fantastic.
Yeah,
it's a lot of fun.
And their whole and I got to see them without their masks on, so I was pretty excited about that. Got to
go.
Meet the
don't
real
tell
dudes
anybody.
I know. I won't and then also your recent shows with NoFX, like that's awesome.
Yeah, it was super awesome.
So how did
very lucky
yeah
to get to do that.
So obviously Melvin was having kids.
Yeah, his wife was pregnant with twins.
And did you get a call from
Melvin? I got a you know, a weird text being like, can I give so-and-so your phone number? And I was like, okay. Yeah, he just called me and said, yeah, would you want to do that? And I had no idea what the hell he was calling me for. I was like running things in my brain. Like, I mean, I know him, but he's yeah. not going to call me, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, so I was super stoked. And
were you surprised? Like,
oh yeah, I was super surprised. I thought maybe there was like a weird, So I know he was mixing with the punk rock karaoke thing for a minute, and I know that he's even filled in the gimmies sometimes for certain things, and I was just like, maybe they're doing like an East Coast punk rock karaoke thing. I had no idea what it could be.
Yeah.
And I definitely didn't expect that. It was like,
you know, was there any thought, when, like any question of what whether you would do it or not, or you're just like, yeah, I'm down.
For me?
Yeah.
No, are you kidding me? Yeah. I was instantly, are you, I think I actually said, are you fucking kidding me? I would love to do that, man. That's incredible. Like, I was just like, are you for real?
Yeah.
Like, they've never, you know, I talked to Mike, you know, I know Mike pretty well. I've talked to him here and there, and he sent an email at some point, like a month out before the shows, and he was just like, hey, never done a show without Melvin.
Really?
Stoked that we're going to do this. Like, it's going to be fun or whatever.
Wow.
And I was like, man, this is cool. And it was super cool. You know, it's fun. I love playing guitar. You know, a lot of those songs I kind of already sort of had in my bloodstream and stuff because I love NoFX, one of my favorite bands. So,
yeah.
Radical.
Awesome.
It was cool to watch, like, just being in a band with you and seeing that. I was like, holy shit, he's like, that's so rad.
It's cool to not sing. That's a cool
thing.
It's fun to just, like, be sort of a rhythm kind of, I don't know.
It was so fun to watch on social media, too, because people were like, what the fuck happened to Melvin?
Yeah.
Like,
you
know, that guy's got dreads. His dreads are really long.
Yeah. Shows in June, and he'll be back, and everything's the same. It was just that they knew that she was expecting in that whole month that they had shows every weekend.
Yeah, he can't, like, go on a cruise somewhere.
Yeah, it would be, you know, and it turned out that when we were on the cruise, she actually went in, you know, and then they, like, were like, oh, no, let's try to hold off, and then that happened again. So it actually all, you know, worked out. And then we were in Japan after the last show is I was sitting with Mike, and he got a text being like, we're actually at the hospital now.
Oh, cool.
So it was like it was kind of supposed to work out. It worked out right. So
that's awesome. And then my final question is, who are your favorite punk rock girls?
Punk rock girls?
Yeah.
Like bands or just people?
Both.
Oh, I don't know. Are there cool punk rock girls other than my
wife? Our friend Holly we stayed with in Richmond.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah?
She played in a band called the Areolas in Orlando.
That's awesome.
Pretty punk rock.
Yeah.
Pretty punk rock.
Yeah, dude. Holly's the best.
Who else are cool punk rock girls? I have another project with my friend, and she's definitely a cool punk rock girl. Her name is Jen Vito, and we did a record called Greenhorn that nobody listened to, but it was awesome. And then
is she Genarchy?
She's Genarchy, her band is called No More, and I'm actually recording them in May because I love Jen and I love working with her. And she is actually playing guitar in that band War on Women now.
Oh, sweet.
Which is a cool, you know, politically driven, outspoken band, and I definitely support
They're from
that.
Florida too, right? Or no?
I don't think so.
No More is.
Yeah.
Okay.
War on Women might be from, I want to say, Baltimore or something. I could be wrong.
Okay. What about you?
That's pretty rad.
Oh, man. I mean, I'm just sitting here trying to, like, run. Like, who am I going to shout out of all
Shauna,
of these people?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Gainesville native.
Like,
Shauna.
But I want to, like, go, like, beyond my friends for a second. And, I mean, obviously, Shauna and Holly and Jen are all great. But, you know, just, like, people, like, girls in punk whose music, like, I'm really digging. There's a couple that really come to mind. Like, I really like what the band Cayetana is doing.
Oh, I know them.
I just really dig their sound. And then there's this other band that I'm, like, obsessed with called Crying. And, like, and I haven't, like, researched their, like, names or anything, but just, like, their sound is just, like, so phenomenal. And, like, the chick who's singing for them is just, like, wonderful.
Awesome.
It's great.
And Wet Nurse. I hate to keep saying Florida.
Yeah, of course.
Bands,
yeah, like, dude, you got
a lot of good chick.
Yeah,
chick
yeah. Shout out everyone that you know. Like, in these things, I'm just like, you know, I wanted to also shout out.
I don't really even know them. They just rule as a band. Like, they're awesome.
I like the Bomb Pops. I think they're cool. They're a fun band.
Their new album's really awesome. Yeah, we just hung out with them. It was fun.
And if we're talking Boston a little bit, I'll just go ahead and shout it out. One of my favorite all-time bands, Damone.
What was that?
Damone. Amazing.
Yeah.
What a band I really miss. They were fantastic. Amazing girl singer. Noelle is a singer for that band. They were great. And we're in Boston.
In
Boston.
Yep. Right on. So you guys going to get some food?
I think so.
Let's try to load in some gear at some point.
Yeah, at some point we got to do that.
Feels like bands are loading in from, like, blocks away for this thing. We're trying to pretend we have a parking spot.
You do, definitely.
Oh, okay. All right.
I can vouch for that. Well, thank you guys so much. I appreciate it.
That was way too easy.
That was fun.